Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Megan Niederwerter, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Niederwerter.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
The Swine Health Information Center recently added E. coli PCR genotyping to the Schick-funded Domestic Swine Disease Monitoring Report. First of all, a little bit of background. What is E. coli and what are the swine health, productivity, and economic implications of E. coli in swine?
Yes, E. coli, commonly known and with a longer name of Escherichia coli, is a disease that's referred to as colibacillosis with regards to what it can cause in disease presentations. It can really cause fairly severe conditions with regards to both suckling pig as well as post-weaning diarrhea. It can cause dehydration, even death in some cases, and has the capability of causing systemic disease, including a disease called edema disease. These are conditions that certainly can undermine welfare and cause increased production costs, and it's certainly something that we want to keep an eye on with regards to what's circulating, what can producers and veterinarians do on farm to mitigate these disease impacts.
What prompted the addition of E. coli PCR genotyping to the Domestic Swine Disease Monitoring Report? And how and by whom will that information be used and to accomplish what?
Yes, so the Schick Domestic Swine Disease Monitoring Reports come out once a month, and this has been a collation of diagnostic data from six VDLs, including Iowa State, South Dakota, Kansas State, Minnesota, Purdue, and Ohio. Historically, the Swine Disease Reporting System has reported out data for eight endemic pathogens, including PRRS, PEDV, porcine delta coronavirus, influenza A, Mycoplasma pneumoniae, PCV2, PCV3, TGEV, and now the addition of E. coli makes nine endemic pathogens that the report monitors and includes data for on a monthly basis. It's really important as we look at these domestic swine disease monitoring programs to understand what would provide additional value to producers and veterinarians. And the decision to add E. coli was really in response to both requests from the Swine Disease Reporting System Advisory Board, made up of producers, veterinarians, diagnosticians, and other stakeholders in the U.S. swine industry. We wanted to think about, is E. coli changing? What are the virulence factors that are most commonly detected? Are there differences in pathotypes with regards to ETEC and STEC? And how has that changed over time? Looking at these samples that have come in from veterinary diagnostic labs that really represent the significant portion of the U.S. swine herd.
From where does the genotyping data originate, and what does it actually show?
Yes, the genotyping data comes in from PCR samples that are submitted to the VDL. This genotype data is then evaluated for pathotype. Is it potentially pathogenic? There are E. coli strains that are non-pathogenic. So that's really the first question. Is it an E. coli that can cause disease, or is it a commensal organism or one that does not cause disease? Then there are other additional information that we can generate from this data, including genotypes, virotypes, virulence factors, and then those pathotypes. So there's been some really interesting findings with regards to this collated data over the last several years. It's just recently been reported in our September and October domestic disease monitoring reports. One of the findings was that approximately one-third of those tested samples lacked pathogenic potential, meaning about 33% do not have the specific parts of the genome that indicates that it's pathogenic. Additionally, there's been some shifts with regards to the virotypes that are detected. So those are changing over the last several years. In addition, these hybrid E-Tech, S-Tech pathotypes have been detected more frequently than the classic E-Tech strains, again, signaling this epidemiological shift in what's circulating in U.S. swine.
What are the recommendations for pork producers on all of this, and how will pork producers use this information?
Yes, we recommend that pork producers and veterinarians really utilize the domestic swine disease monitoring report to understand what endemic pathogens are circulating in their region, which age group are they most commonly detected in, what are the virotypes or pathotypes for E. coli in particular. When you have a diagnostic case that identifies some of these characteristics, you want to understand, is this the most common pathotype or virulence factor detected in the US? Is it an unusual detection, meaning something that's emerging or something that may be more pathogenic in your herd? So keeping an eye out on these trends can certainly allow us to recognize rising prevalence of virulence factors. They can inform vaccine decisions. They can inform treatment strategies such as antibiotics and really tailor those to each individual herd need. So we think that this additional information on E. coli will really allow proactive herd health plans to adapt to what's being identified in their herd. Is it pathogenic? Is it non-pathogenic? And then understanding again those genotype characteristics.
How can anyone interested access the Swine Health Information Center's swine disease monitoring reports or get additional information?
The domestic swine disease monitoring reports, as well as our global swine disease monitoring reports, are published on a monthly basis, typically the first week of the month. And that comes out on our website, which is swinehealth.org. And it also comes out through a monthly e-newsletter where we highlight the specific findings of those monthly reports. If you'd like to receive our newsletter, you can sign up again on our website, and that comes through once a month.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Yes, as we look at our domestic swine disease monitoring reports, we are always looking for how does this data, how can it be presented or modified or adjusted to provide additional producer and veterinarian data? We want to have value to this information and actionable outcomes with regards to the data and how it's presented. And so if there's anyone who's listening that has an idea for either a new pathogen that should be included or additional data and the way that it can be presented, please feel free to reach out. We're always again looking for ways that that report can provide more value back to producers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Our guest has been Dr. Megan Niederwörter, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.